Good health to all from Rexall. It's the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, presented by the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists.
Good evening and aloha nui. Tonight, the makers of Rexall drug products and the 10,000 independent family druggists who recommend and sell them salute station KGU Honolulu and welcome you to the NBC network carrying the Harris Faye Show. Through the facilities of KGU, we extend greetings to all our friends on the islands, and especially to the firm of Benson Smith, who have been Rexall druggists for the past 40 years. We landlubbers here on the mainland tell you in all sincerity that we're happy you've invited us aboard, and we hope that you'll become regular members of our listening audience. But wait, I'm sure the stars of our show can tell you much better than I just how we all feel. So, here's Alice Faye and Phil Harris.
Phil, isn't it wonderful? Now we can be heard in the Hawaiian Islands.
You bet it's wonderful, honey. When I think of all those lovely people way out there in the Mediterranean that...
The Hawaiian Islands are in the Pacific.
When I think of all those lovely people way out there in the Pacific listening to our program, I just want to sing.
Well, don't. This is no time for corn.
All right, Smarty, what can I do?
Why, tell our listeners in Hawaii how happy we are to have them with us every Sunday from now on.
Okay. Folks, we're just bowled over that you're going to be with us every Sunday from now on.
And that we'll do our very best to please them.
We'll do our very best to please you.
And that we'd love to have their letters and comments.
And we'd love to have your letters and compliments.
Phil.
Now can I sing?
What? That's what I like about the South?
Think you're smart, don't you? Well, this time I'm going to sing That's What I Like About the South Pacific.
Oh, no, you don't. We want Hawaii to keep listening.
Aloha to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. Written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Mr. Scott of Rexall and his wife are going on a motor trip for a few days. However, they have a very valuable French poodle named Madame Bovary, whom they would like to leave in good hands while they're gone. As we look in, we find Mr. Scott on the phone asking Phil if he'll take care of the dog while they're away.
What's that, Mr. Scott? Mr. Scott, we seem to have a bad connection. What did you say?
I said, I'm taking Mrs. Scott on a motor trip for a few days, and I'd like to leave Madame Bovary with you while I'm gone.
Madame Bovary? Gee, Mr. Scott, I'd like to help you out, but I'm a married man. Gee whiz, Alice is a little touchy about having other women around the house. I ain't
Harris,
gonna...
Harris, Madame Bovary is a dog.
Oh, well, in that case, leave her with Remley. He don't care what they look like.
Give me strength. Look, Cornball. Madame Bovary is a dog. You know, bow wow, woof woof, arf arf.
Oh, Scotty, you've been working too hard.
Harris, listen closely. I'll spell it for you. I want to leave a D-O... No, that'll get him more confused than... Wait. I've got it. Mr. Harris, when your wife is mad at you, where does she put you?
In a doghouse.
Cut it in half and you've got it. That's what I want to leave with you. A dog.
Well, why didn't you say so instead of getting me involved in one of them double in tandem routines? I don't know nothing about what you're talking about. We'd be glad to take care of her. She's a nice dog. Bring her over.
Thanks. I'll be right over with her. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Scott.
Who called, Phil?
Oh, it was Mr. Scott, honey. He's taking his wife on a motor trip, and he wants to leave his dog with us.
Oh, that'll be nice for the children, having a dog around.
Yeah. Well, if that Scotty's coming over with that dog, I won't be able to finish painting this chair right now.
Well, you better put the paint away now.
I'll put the paint can away later.
You know, Phil, we should have bought the girls a dog for Christmas. Frankie promised them one, but instead he gave them that horrible, uncouth gift.
Hold it, Mercedes. What's uncouth about a pool table?
Well, I don't want it in the house, and I'm going to tell Frankie, so where is he?
He's in the den with the kids. Said he was going to help him with their homework. I'll call him. Hey, Remley, come in here a minute, will you?
All right, Curly, I'll be right with you.
Okay, Phyllis, it's your shot. Try the six ball in the side pocket, and this time don't cheat. Keep one foot on the floor. Now remember, you each owe me $3 so far.
When we started, you said we were playing for fun.
Well, that was before I was sure I could beat you. Okay, now stop stalling and chalk up.
All right. Uncle Frankie, how do I make this shot?
Well, that's a cinch. Put a little English on the cue ball, kiss her off the seven, bank it off the corner cushion, you get it right into the side pocket. It's an impossible shot. She'll never make it.
Well, I'll try. Here goes.
Little wise guy.
Well, Phyllis and I won that game. Now it's your turn to pay up.
All right. Here's 50 cents in play money.
I don't get it, Uncle Frankie. When we win, you pay us in play money. But when you win, we have to pay you in real money. How come?
Fortunes of war, my child. Now, if you kids will excuse me, I'll go see what your daddy wants. Curly? Hey, do you want to see me, Curly?
I want to see you, Frankie. It's about the pool table.
Hold it a minute. That must be Mr. and Mrs. Scott.
What are the Scotts coming here for? Well,
they're going away on a trip and they're stopping by for a minute. Excuse us, Frankie.
Yeah.
Hello, Harris. Mrs. Harris.
Oh, hello, Mr. Scott. Come right on in.
Where's Mrs. Scott?
She's at home. I'm picking her up later. Well, here's Madame Bovary.
Ah, hiya, Poochie. She's a cute little thing.
Hey, Curly, does the old test tube leave yet? Oh, hi, Scotty.
Oh, it's him. Hello, Remley. It's good to see you.
Thanks. It's good to see you, too. You're looking fine, Mr. Scott. Well, Mrs. Scott. You're looking your usual charming self. Nice to see you again. She's got a cold, eh?
Remley. One more nasty...
Oh, no, it's just a mistake, Mr. Scott. Frankie can't see too well. He's wearing his nearsighted head today.
Look, Frankie, this is a dog. It isn't Mrs. Scott.
Harris, I hardly think the identification is necessary. As for you, Remley, this is the beginning of a new year. So why don't you get it off to a good start by doing away with yourself? Now, Mrs. Harris, I have to be running along now.
Oh, I'll see you to the door, Mr. Scott.
All right, so long, Scotty. Come on, Frankie, let's take this dog in and show it to the kids, huh?
Oh, by the way, Mrs. Harris, I want to leave this dog whistle with you.
Yeah.
Incidentally, don't think the whistle's broken when you blow it, because you won't hear it, but the dog will.
Oh, Mr. Scott, you've been standing too close to Frankie.
I know I sound like him, but this is a supersonic whistle, and it's too high-pitched for the human ear, but a dog can hear it plainly. Oh, by the way, Mrs. Harris,
yes?
I won't be here for the program Sunday, but I'll try to listen in. I'd hate to miss your song.
I'd hate to have you miss it, too, and just to make sure you don't, I'll sing it now.
Bye-bye, baby. Remember, you're my baby. When they give you the eye, and just to show that I care, I will write and declare that I'm on the loose, but I'll stay on the square. I'll be lonely, but even though I'm lonely, there'll be no other guy. Though I'll be gone for a while, I know that I'll be smiling with my baby by and by. still on the square.
To me, then my shadows will fly. Though you be gone for a while, I know thou'll be smiling with my baby by and
by. Well, Mr. Scott, that's the number I'm... How do you like that? He drove off right in the middle of my song. Oh, well, as long as he sends the check every week, who cares? I'd better put this dog whistle in a safe place. I wonder if it really works. I gotta try it. Dog heard it, but I didn't. Mr. Scott was right. It can't be heard by a human being. I'd better put it on the mantel so I'll know where it is. Well, it's 11:45. I'd better prepare lunch.
Hey, Alice, where are those instructions that Mr. Scott gave you? I think this dog... Alice! Ah, well, I'll find them myself. I think she put them up on the mantel. Hey, I never saw this whistle before. Must belong to the kids. Wonder what it sounds like. Must be broken. Maybe you have to blow it harder. Who's blowing that darn whistle in here? Well, I'm blowing it, but... You heard it blow?
Yeah. That's the shrillest sound I ever heard in my life.
But, Frankie, the whistle's broken. Look, I'll show you.
Come out! Stop it! Cut out! You want to break my eardrums?
But I didn't hear nothing. Frankie, my ears ain't working. I must be losing my hearing.
Nah, it's nothing serious. Some people are nearsighted. You just happen to be near-eared.
This is no time for jokes.
Bill, lunch is ready.
Hey. Oh, honey, I got awful news for you. From now on, when you whisper sweet nothings in my ear, that's what it's going to be. Nothing.
Bill, what are you talking about?
I'm losing my hearing, honey. I've been blowing this whistle and I don't hear a sound.
Of course you don't. It's a supersonic whistle. It can't be heard by human beings. Only by dogs.
Oh. Well, thank goodness I'm all right. I didn't hear it, and Remley said he heard... Remley.
What are you staring at me for? Just because I heard the whistle doesn't mean that I... Hey, Curly, if only dogs can hear it and I heard it, it must mean that I...
Take it easy. Take down, Rex.
So why is Frankie carrying on so?
Alice, I got something amazing to tell you. When I blew this dog whistle, Frankie heard it.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me.
Honey, don't you understand? What did you say about the whistle?
I said a human being can't hear it.
But Frankie heard it.
So?
What do you mean, so? This is awful. If I can hear like a dog, there must be something wrong with me.
Maybe you're part Airedale.
Don't be a funny man, part Airedale. I'll have you know I'm just as human as anybody.
I'll be right in, dear.
No!
Do it naturally, like it ought to be. Apply the fundamental and let the incidental go by. When old man trouble starts in, hounding your doorstep, and he's got his grip around you, brother, that's the time you'd better watch your step. consequently, I recommend you take this interview and apply it to everything you do, and you will find your knowledge is more than any college could do for you. 'Cause it's only elemental to apply the fundamental and let the incidental go by. Recommend to every one of you who continue to do the things you do, apply the fundamental and let the incidental go by. Stand on a basic firm philosophy, do it naturally like it ought to be, apply the fundamental and let the incidental go by. When old man trouble starts in hounding your doorstep, and he's got his grip around you, brother, that's the time you'd better get mohair. Consequential, I beg you take this little interview and apply it to everything you do, and you will find your knowledge is more than any college could do for you. 'Cause it's only elemental to apply the fundamental and let the incidental go by. Bye-bye. F-U-N-D, I don't know how to spell it, but let the incidental go by.
Now I know what's wrong with my ears, Curly. I always stand too close to you when you sing. Hey, Curly, do you think maybe there's something in my ear that's causing my strange affliction?
Could be. Maybe you got a tick in there. Hey, hold still, Remley. I'll look in your ear and see. All over here. Kind of dark in there. Wait till I light a match. Now, let me see now.
Hey, don't hold a match so close to my ear.
Will you hold still? I want to study
all
this.
Right.
Is anybody... Well, it's about time somebody set fire to Mr. Remley. With all the alcohol in him, he'd make a beautiful blaze.
You keep quiet, Julius. Now, hold still, Frankie.
All right.
I don't see nothing in your left ear, Remley.
Well, come over here and look in his right ear. I see something astounding in here.
What do you see?
The light shining through from his left ear.
Julius, you can see the light shining through... Julius, you mean...
Me.
What frightened you?
A bat just flew out of me.
Julius, one more crack out of you and I'll...
How am I going to explain this to Mr. Scott? How his dog got red?
Tell him his French poodle joined the Communist Party.
Lovely kid.
Yeah.
He's a grand boy. He's got all the charm of an old man's knee. No,
family. Now, look, just take a look at that dog. He's covered with red paint. What are we going to do? If Scotty ever sees his dog like this, I'm a cinch to lose my job. Now, we got to get the paint off of her hair.
Well,
look,
take
at that.
It easy, will you? We'll get it off.
Oh, sure, we'll.
All we have to do is... You go answer the phone. I'll get the paint off of the dog.
Let's see. Where does Curly keep his electric razor?
Okay, stop shivering, Poop. There you are. Hey, you look great, kid. Not a hair on
you. Hey, Remley, I got news for you. We're cooked. That was Mr. Scott on the phone. He had to postpone his trip, and he's coming over to get his... Remley, where'd you get that plucked chicken?
That's Scotty's dog. I shaved all her hair off.
Oh, no. Oh, a nude French poodle? Somehow she looks indecent. Throw a rug or a kimono or something over her.
I think she looks very attractive.
Only to you, Ren 1010. Oh, Frankie, if Scotty sees his dog like this, he's going to raise the roof. Her fancy hairdo is the most important part of a dog.
I know that, and when Scotty gets here, she'll have hair. Hand me that bottle of glue.
You mean you're going to paste the hair back on the dog?
Oh, Curly, don't get hokey. Besides, there's paint on the old hair. I'm going to paste this on. Looks like poodle hair, but it's much more luxurious.
Yeah, it is. What is that?
Alice's Persian lamb muff. I know what I'm doing every minute.
Frankie, will you listen to me? You can't do that.
It's too late. It's already cut, measured, and ready to fit. Now hold the dog still while I paste it on.
Oh, Remley, why do you always get... Well, that's all we got left to do now, and I'll tell you something. We got to hurry, Frankie. Mr. Scott will be here any minute. Now, look, do you remember how her fancy hairdo looks?
Stop worrying, will you? I'll put it on just the way it was.
You'd better.
Yeah. Well, she's all pasted, Curly. How does she look?
I don't know, Frankie. Didn't she have a tuft of hair on top of her head?
No. It was under her chin, just the way I got it.
Well, maybe you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But is it supposed to be shaped like a Van Dyke? She looks like an ad for Bach Beer.
I think she looks swell. Notice how deftly I applied these clumps of fur here and there. Gives her a look of studied carelessness.
Well, maybe she looks all right, but wait a minute.
Hmm?
What's that limp strip of fur hanging down the back of her?
Oh, that's her new tail.
New tail?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to her old one?
Well, while I was working on her, she kept swishing it in my face, so I glued it to her stomach.
Frankie, this is a sad-looking animal, and I know that Scotty is going to be...
There you are, Harris. Mrs. Harris told me you had my beautiful dog in here. And I... What is that horrible monstrosity?
That horrible monstrosity is your beautiful dog.
What happened to her? She used to have hair on top of her head and all along the top of her shoulders. Now she has it hanging from her chin and under her stomach.
Turn her upside down. She'll be as good as new.
I should have known better than to leave her here with you two maniacs. Come, Madam Bovary, we're going home. Daddy will pick you up. I can't budge her.
Remley, you put too much glue on her stomach and she's stuck to the floor. Pull a little harder, Scotty.
Oh, you poor dog. But don't worry. We'll get back at those two right now.
Now, wait a minute, Scotty. Wait a minute. Take it easy. Don't sick that dog on us.
Dog, nothing. I'm going to bite you myself.
Oh, wait. Control yourself. I can explain. I didn't mean to. Scotty, stop chewing on my leg.
Take off your guard, you coward.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
Friends, this is Phil Harris, and right now, I'm going to tell you about something that is very close to me. Somewhere is a youngster who needs a pal. A boy who may be fatherless or just an unhappy, unfortunate kid. Whatever the reason, the big brothers of America are ready to help. And you can help, too, if you're a big brother. Beginning next Sunday is National Big Brother Week. Give your own heart a warm feeling by joining up, won't you? Write Big Brothers of America, Philadelphia 3, Pennsylvania. Big Brothers of America, Philadelphia 3, Pennsylvania. Do that. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. This program was produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Included in today's cast were Gail Gordon and Stan Freeberg. Frank Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley.
Goodbye now for the makers of 2,000 or more Rexall drug products and the 10,000 independent family druggists who recommend and sell them. Don't forget, we'll be with you out there in the islands every Sunday from now on over station KGU Honolulu. So please join the Rexall family of listeners and make it a regular Sunday date with Phil and Alice. In the meantime, whenever you want reliable drug products, visit your nearest Benson Smith drugstore. There's a family druggist inside who'll tell you you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall. And now for Phil and Alice and all the gang, and for the Rexall Drug Company and your Rexall family druggist, this is Bill Foreman saying aloha to all from Rexall.